Divided Kingdom, the cutting-edge news program. Elizabeth Cuppet Cavalli and I, Lou Cavalli, have been bringing to you since 2003. In our 15th anniversary year, we can be heard on WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio, Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on 4.840 megahertz. Also Saturdays at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, on 7.490 megahertz. Internet listeners, Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern, go to WWCR.com, click on transmitter number 3. We can also be heard at LWRN.net, Liberty's Works Radio, Liberty Works Radio Network. Go to LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern, repeating at 11 p.m. Eastern. Years ago, really decades ago, probably about 1983, Elizabeth and I went into a Roy Rogers fast food restaurant in the metropolitan D.C. area. Little did I know, God would bring me face to face with one of my sins of omission from years before. In requesting my food, I would happen upon a young server who recognized me, but not I him. Years before, when my landlady got very ill for a time, I was her boarder and the only one left after her seven-year-old son. When she eventually died, I looked for a new place to live, and as God arranged things, ended up in a high-rise apartment building where my future wife, Elizabeth, also had an apartment. Thoughtless the way young men are, I had never given a thought to whether Richie would miss my sudden leaving or should have had some explanation for me to prepare him for my disappearance from his life. Standing there with arms crossed, Richie scowled at me. "Where did you go?" Thankfully, God had arranged this reunion, and we were able to renew our friendship. But as always, the light and the dark compete here on earth in our fallen world. Preceding when going up to the counter and meeting Richie unexpectedly, Elizabeth and I noted two strange-looking people at the back of the restaurant, sitting unobtrusively drinking coffee. Something about their movements wasn't quite right. Like puppets, they jerkily turned their heads toward each other. They woodenly picked up their coffee cups. Something about them seemed creepy, disjointed, even demonic.
Yes, Lou, I can visualize these not-of-earth beings still quite clearly. Were they Satan's evil spirits come to this dimension in robot counterfeit human form? And last night, there they were again, after President Trump's magnificent Oval Office speech in which he warned all America of a severe crisis at our southern border, 4,000 lives lost just in the last 2 years. Some of his sobering statistics also included the southern border being responsible for 90% of the heroin coming into the U.S. and 100,000 violent assaults in 2018, along with 30,000 sex crimes and 17,000 illegal aliens with criminal records apprehended in this same year, 2018. Pelosi and Schumer.
Yes, Elizabeth, I chuckled as I saw the overkill, silent propaganda. Not one, but six American flags behind the speaker and the senator. Does the Democratic Party really think this double dose of patriotic insignia will give amnesia to the millions of Americans watching TV as the Democratic Presidential Convention of 2016 opened with no American flags on stage? Hardly.
Well, we think about this, Lou. We have to think then how Speaker Pelosi and Senator Schumer stood, slightly hunched by age, but most shockingly, their visages look dead gray, almost gaunt. Is this what the spirit of Satan's evil and his lies turn people into? Earlier, Fox clips of them both in years back endorsing a border barrier showed them as younger, ruddy-faced in a healthy way. Now, in their disgraceful twilight look, they really did resemble the Bob Evans spiritual robots you told our listeners about, Lou.
this kind of creeped out look, along with Schumer's impotent assertion that Trump's caution, and that of 99% of all real thinking Americans, I would add, was, quote, manufacturing a crisis and stoking fear, unquote, was openly mocked by Fox TV host Sean Hannity, who said it reminded him of his Saturday Night Live opening skit. Laura Ingraham pinned her angle on the two Tweedledees. A photo of Grant Wood's American Gothic painting that features a stern farmer with a pitchfork and his wife was set beside the Pelosi-Schumer duo's video still. Actual TV footage from the part highlighted their hypocrisy. In 2006, Senators Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Charles Schumer voted for border barrier legislation. So did the would-be presidential Democrat godfather, Joe Biden. Pelosi, too, was shown with the others mentioned highly espousing the barrier. And as you noted, Elizabeth, in those mid-2000 clips, these folk looked much more human with a healthy blush to their cheeks.
Lou, we will pick up some of this story later in the program. Some of the stalwart men in America who support Trump and the wall. First, we have to explore again the tug of war spiritually in America. Can God Almighty, who has definitely given America a reprieve from judgment and from Christian and patriot persecution in 2016 with Trump's election, can he continue to protect us? And we actually heard that had Hillary been elected, she did have plans with an arrest list and that Alex Jones was on it. We're small, a small program, but we're under siege right now. Chemtrails, day after day after day. They listen. They know that we had pneumonia. But, you know, I don't think it's very sporting of the elite to do this to two people who have bravely given their all for 15 years, more than their all. But you know, God is in control. He will protect us as long as it is His will to protect us. And you know, we pray for those people who do the chemtrails. I don't think their families are going to be very blessed when God sees what they're doing, part of this mass population reduction and harm. You know, we hope and pray that some of the deep state who follow our program closely will repent. I hope that some of you heard the story of Betty Maltz. No other God in the creation of the world could bring someone back to life who had been dead for 30 minutes. Don't you want to be a friend of that God? Don't you want Him to be your personal Savior? I would hope so, because you can repent no matter what you've done in life, even murder. You can repent, and He will wash your sins away. The scarlet is gone as if it were the color of snow. So at any rate, we're saying here that how can God continue to give us this reprieve under Trump when His church is silent on legalized same-sex marriage, the murder of 60-plus million babies since 1973, continued pedophilia molestation by high officials of church, Roman Catholic Church, and government and celebrity depraved people, and that this is now becoming accepted as a cultural norm? This divided kingdom is shockingly illustrated by this abominable to God heresy. For example, this is supposedly out of the Christian religion. And now, while we can never approve of Matt Tiemann's Tribulation Watch newsletter statement, did you know replacement theology is true? Nor can we swallow the Jewish world conspiracy idea when we already have Anthony Sutton's documentation of the Anglo-American magnates, these big men of business, instituting the Wall Street, really, Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, and Carol Quigley's exposés. We do value Matt Tiemann's documentation, however, of this shocking heresy in the so-called Christian camp. Benny Hinn, become supernaturally awesome like me. Now, those of you who have never been familiar with Benny Hinn's DVDs, There's a lot of so-called holy laughter and rolling on the floor and things that sound like demonic shrieks to me.
Grave sucking, Christian necromancy in the 21st century. What is called the New Apostolic Reformation has doomed many good-hearted but gullible people. This movement, a theological belief which advocates the restoration of the offices of apostle and prophet within the charismatic and Pentecostal churches, has produced many false teachers who claim they are modern-day apostles. They are, in fact, false witnesses leading their followers towards the lake of fire. Bill Johnson of Bethel Church in Redding, California, is one such blind guide. In his book, When Heaven Invades Earth, Johnson writes that Jesus performed his miracles, quote, as a man in right relationship with God, not as God. If he performed miracles as God, then they would be unattainable for us, unquote. Can we, as Christians, outperform Jesus? Was Jesus just a man? Are we then gods on this earth? Is the lust for supernatural powers and greatness the bottom line for the so-called New Apostolic Reformation? The Holy Bible in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, tells us, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, unquote. Bethel Church is known for its manifestations of false signs and wonders. There one shall find speaking in tongues, with no interpretation, thus no edification to the others and false prophecies, all which are claimed to be the work of the Holy Spirit. But Bethel Church also practices a bizarre activity known as grave sucking. They believe that they can suck the anointing out of a deceased person's body by lying on its grave. What is grave sucking? Imagine a group of people scouring a cemetery looking for the grave of, say, the late charismatic faith healer Oral Roberts, or the faith healer John G. Lake, or even C.S. Lewis. Upon locating the burial plot, the group begins to lay on the ground, or hug, also known as soaking, the gravestone, inviting the spirit of the deceased into their body, thus granting them a spiritual blessing. Grave sucking is based upon the idea that the spiritual calling of an individual who has died may be reclaimed and used by another person. The theory is that God uses the Holy Spirit to, quote-unquote, anoint certain believers with a specific purpose, such as healing or prophecy. But when the person dies, God's work is thwarted. Thus, the Holy Spirit is, quote, wasted, unquote, lying upon the bones and unable to continue the calling. This unrecovered anointing is apparently available to anyone who would physically come and claim it. This occultic activity is loosely based on the teachings of 2 Kings 13:21. Quoting from that, and it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up upon his feet, unquote. This passage of Scripture has nothing to do with so-called grave-sucking. However, Bill Johnson, in his book, Physics of Heaven, claims, quote, there are anointings, mantles, revelations, and mysteries that have lain unclaimed, literally, where they were left, because the generation that walked in them never passed them on. I believe it's possible for us to recover realms of anointing, realms of insight, realms of God that have been untended for decades simply by choosing to reclaim them and perpetuate them for future generations, unquote. How does one grave suck? To recover the anointing of the dead, one must lie on the grave of a deceased individual, such as a charismatic faith healer, revivalist, apostle, or prophet, to access their spirit power from the dead bones. This sounds a lot like necromancy, doesn't it? The calling up of dead spirits is something the Holy Bible blatantly condemns. The Bible confirms that the dead are not alive in their graves. We discover only dry bones and dust. We are not to consult with familiar spirits or to practice necromancy. See Deuteronomy 18:11 and 1 Samuel 28. Only the Satanists, witches, voodoo priests, and extreme Catholics do such foul and unholy things. Lying on graves and cemeteries and asking that the spirit, in quotes, inhabiting the site, enter your body is a hideous thing. It will result in demons possessing many people. We can expect a horrific satanic explosion if this practice advances further. Galatians 5:19-21 explains, Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Heresies, envyings, revelings, and such. As I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Unquote. This practice is rejected by God because it places emphasis on the physical realm, not in the Word of God. The Bible further prohibits the seeking of the dead. We read in Isaiah 8:19, And when they shall say unto you, Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? To be supernaturally awesome like me. Another believer in grave sucking is Benny Hinn. Hinn claims that he has a key to Catherine Coleman's grave and claims he gets an anointing from it. During a televised event on TBN from the grave of Amy Semple McPherson, Hinn claimed to have received a, quote, terrific anointing of God's power, unquote. During this broadcast, Hinn continued, quote, Many believers seeking to leap ahead on that path to become supernaturally awesome, like me, try to kick their spiritual growth into high gear by leeching Holy Ghost power from the anointed dead. They do this by hugging tombstones or lying directly on graves in order to get close to the lifeless bodies of supercharged saints lying beneath them, unquote. False doctrines such as those found among charismatics are permeating the church today. Paul warned us in Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them, unquote. The spiritual covering these false teachers offer is nothing but a means to bring in more money and to manipulate and control. Excuse me. They are there only to serve their own appetites. True shepherds lead by example with pure motives. 1 Peter 5:2-3 says, Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock, unquote. Through leaders in the church called by God are not to dominate people, but to instruct them through rightly dividing the word of truth. Moreover, we are commanded to test all things. The Bereans were commended for comparing Paul's teaching with Scripture. Jesus commanded in Matthew 8:22, Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. We as Christians seek life and life more abundantly. We live forever through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Isn't that an amazing one, Lou? You know, this is almost the Christian equivalent of Skull and Bones, the secret society in which the participants lie in coffins and do other things we aren't going to discuss right here tonight on the program. But it also has an element of the New Age, I think. It's really strongly humanism and sort of the divinity of man, because it takes a lot of hubris to think that you can go down there and hug that tombstone and bring that spirit up by yourself. As I said before, the true story of Betty Maltz, as recorded by Catherine Marshall, Peter Marshall's widow, really does make us realize that the keys to life and death are held by one celestial being, the top person, and that is Jesus Christ. No other being, no other so-called God could bring someone back to life after 30 minutes of death. But we say here that we would like to be blessed as a country, but there have been people who have seen the fallen eagle One was Michael Boldea. He saw this in a vision. One was our little hairdresser of years ago. She saw the eagle falling down. And she saw a tsunami that would come along the East Coast. There are 13 to 15 people who have had prophetic warnings of such a thing. So we're not saying we're joining that, but we're just saying that something might be up at some point when God has had enough. And this mixed allegiance, he never tolerated in the Bible. No, he wanted his people to worship only him. It's in the Ten Commandments. And so now we have to see another occult influence besides this terrible practice that Lou brought to you there by so-called Christians. We now have the Triumph Arch. And what this was, this arch was originally built in the city Palmyra in Syria. And it was the entryway to the worship of Baal and capital B-E-L. Those are two variations, I think, of the same pagan god. The word Baal is mentioned 63 times, and Bel is mentioned 3 times in the King James Version. This arch was constructed in Carrara, Italy. It is a one-third scale of the original. Here are the locations that the Arch of Triumph was displayed around the world. And this information was compiled by American Prophecy, I believe, and we don't agree with all of their interpretations, but this is some excellent information on the Arch. Now, here are the locations that it was displayed. April 18, 2016, the Arch of Triumph was erected and then unveiled the 19th in the United Kingdom at Trafalgar Square, London. The exhibit closed the 21st. This is the second city empire. September 18, 2016, the Arch of Triumph was erected and then unveiled the 19th in the United States at City Hall, Manhattan Park, New York. And the exhibit closed the 23rd. Again, that was the year 2016. February 11, 2017, the Arch of Triumph was erected and then unveiled on the 12th in the United Arab Emirates, Dubai. This was during the World Government Summit. The exhibit closed on the 14th. Now, are we getting the connection? This pagan rebuilding, this hubris that the Harbinger, Pastor Jonathan Cahn's book, delineated with some of our political figures like Tom Daschle, and like John Edwards, they reiterated Isaiah 9:11, that, you know, the bricks are fallen, but we will rebuild better than ever, and we're going to build these sycamores. This is man's hubris, and he's not realizing we're under the judgment of God. And on 9/11, we have talked before that Ground Zero was very near the heart of the place where Washington took his first cabinet to church. That was their first action. And the tree that was destroyed, they said they would replace it. It was a sycamore. I think it was an American type of sycamore, or an English sycamore. And they put one up, and they called it America's Promise. And it did not thrive. I believe that it died. So we can see God's reaction is very lukewarm, at least, toward this mixed allegiance. We're to have no other gods. So the world government will bring in the Antichrist when they have him completely installed, and we will have the mark of the beast. So we're en route to that. So then the next place that the Arch of Triumph moved was March 25th, 2017. They erected it and then unveiled it on the 26th in Italy at Palazzo Vecchio, Florence. This was during the G7 Cultural Summit. The exhibit closed April 27, 2017. Then on April 28th of 2017, the arch was erected and then shown off the 29th in Italy at the San Graziano Square, Arona. Exhibit closed late September 2017. Then, now we come up to the year we have just ended. September 25th, 2018, the Arch of Triumph was erected and then unveiled the 26th in the United States at the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and it closed the 28th. And the interpreter says here, the Third City Empire. And they note, too, that the Palmyra Arch replica was displayed during biblical feast days and or celestial events. London, U.K., Passover, April 19th to 21st, 2016. Manhattan, New York City, Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, September 19th to 23rd, 2016. Dubai, UAE, 2 days after penumbral lunar eclipse, February 12th to 14th, 2017. Florence, Italy, through Passover, March 27th through April 27th, 2017. Arona, Italy, through Pentecost, April 29th through July 30th, then extended to September 30th, 2017. Washington, D.C., Feast of the Tabernacles and Sukkot. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that pagan holiday, I believe that is, correctly. September 26th through 30th, 2018. And here is an interesting fact about the Arch of Triumph at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. The Triumphal Arch was unveiled at the National Mall between the Washington Monument, which represents the male sex organ, the penis, and the United States Capitol Building Dome, which represents the womb. The arch is in the middle, which represents the female sex organ, the vagina, making this a colossus sex magic ritual. This same ritual happened also in London, the Second City Empire. And then we cannot agree with some interpretations that equate President Trump with being the beast. We are far from believing that. We think that our politicians, though, including him, may not have any knowledge of the spiritual things that we're telling you about. You're a select group. You're God's remnant. And we do, again, thank some of you for your letters. We thank all of you who wrote to us. We thank you for your Christmas time contributions, because we would have had a difficult time staying on the air with January's five Thursdays. It would have been difficult, and you helped us tremendously. So we thank each and every one of you. I hope that I have answered all of you. If not, forgive me, because I was pretty sick with the pneumonia. Now, let's get back to some interesting facts, some quotes from the speeches given. Now, you note that I mentioned the Harbinger and the political speeches after 9/11 of John Edwards and Tom Daschle were speaking before our politicians in Congress, and telling them that we would rebuild. There was no repentance. There was no remorse for the 60 million babies killed. No, America is great. America is good. America the beautiful. But is it beautiful? So now, what happened at the time of the arch unveiling here in D.C.? House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Ed Royce, Republican, California, and Ranking Member Elliot Engel, Democrat, New York, both longtime advocates for the protection of global cultural heritage, jointly unveiled a reconstruction of Palmyra, Syria's iconic triumphal arch on the National Mall today. The presentation lasted 45 minutes. Here are some quotes from that speech. Mr. Engel, Democrat of New York. Quote, when you look at this beautiful arch, we are seeing through the eyes of ancient civilizations, and to have it right here, set against the classical columns of the Capitol, is really extraordinary. Today we stand shoulder to shoulder, our voices as one. We will not let the terrorists erase history. We are in solidarity with the people of Syria who have been subjected to such unimaginable horror by ISIS and the Assad regime. We need to stay committed to ending this barbarity. Projects like this recreation of the Arch of Palmyra are a critical way to celebrate these iconic pieces and keep them very much alive and present in our collective consciousness. Lou, I would like you to comment. Isn't this a little bit of like the grave sucking? This isn't just a dead statue with no backing from the dark forces. It has a goal. Listen to this again. We're going to not only celebrate these iconic pieces, but keep them very much alive and present in our collective consciousness. What is this alive and collective consciousness, do you think?
Now that's an interesting question. Does it mean that whatever pagan power that might have been, at least in the eyes of the early Syrians or whatever nationality this Palmyra was somehow going to be transferred, this power, to our country, to our government? That's a very mysterious thing.
Opening the darker portals, perhaps? That's what we wonder. God removes his hand of protection. He is a jealous God, and he will not take this lightly. Well, there was another quote, I believe. This quote was from Roger Michael, and he's a spokesperson for the Institute for Digital Archaeology. And he said about Michelangelo with a great voice, and he said the artist sees the angel within the marble and carves to set him free. But we would have to say this wouldn't be one of God's angels. Not hardly, because they are rebuilding the Tower of Babel that we heard about in the early openings of the Bible. And I think there was another quote from Roger Michael, that we ourselves have discovered the means for releasing the spirit in the stone, because there is this palpable energy that comes from these objects that people pick up on. Isn't that interesting? You see, there is always this hidden world that we don't see going on. But we as Christians are to do, as Lou quoted earlier, we as Christians seek life and life more abundantly, not these dead evil forces. Some portraits post-Trump Oval Office speech of men beginning to come under this biblical promise of more abundant life perhaps are there. Some may already be born-again Christians. Some may be at least affected by Christians around them who are bravely standing for the truth. Perhaps the most convincing advocate of the border wall is Brandon Judd, head of the National Border Control Council. Judd strongly confirms that Trump's plan is sound. Those are his words. Trump's plan is sound, he says. And he confirms also that there is an emergency situation at the southern border. When Department of Homeland Security head Kirstjen Nielsen in a meeting tried to tell the 2018 statistics of 17,000 apprehensions of illegals with criminal records, Nancy Pelosi kept interrupting her, saying, "These statistics are not true. This is not true," to the point that Nielsen could not even state the documented true numbers. It was very surprising and very heartening to see Senator Lindsey Graham after Trump's speech, who answered yes when asked, "Does a wall work?" He delineated how a wall works in Israel. Very tellingly, Graham said, "We're dealing with people who see our border agents as the problem instead of the illegals." Senator Lindsey Graham documented how in 2006, Clinton, Schumer, Obama, and Biden voted for, quote, the secure fence. This was allotting money for a border fence. Another all-American profile post-Trump address, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, came on to remind American viewers beset with Pelosi-Schumer lie distortions that, quote, "Trump is only asking for 10% of the amount given to foreign aid." And he also held up the working barrier models of Yuma, Arizona, and El Paso as very successful. Mark Levin of the radio show Life, Liberty, and Levin labeled Pelosi and Schumer as pathological liars. He said no one talks about how the big companies like Boeing and Hewlett-Packard want cheap, illegal labor in a coalition with big Democratic power. Eminent old lion political watcher Victor Davis Hanson, situated in the San Joaquin Valley, said of the border emergency, it's a real thing. I've been dealing with this since 2006. The Democrats under Obama voted money for border control. The elite are never responsible for the results of their ideology. And there, I thought that was a stunning nugget. Listen to that again. The elite are never responsible for the results of their ideology. And we have learned that the FDA has just approved a new opioid that is 10 times stronger than ever. Are we under a curse? What are we under? The reprobate mind can no longer think, not with accuracy. When I was going through those years that I was a little bit shaken in my faith, and I said, Lou, what if God isn't all good? And he said, Elizabeth, think about this. To not be good, God would have to be insane. He'd have to be partly insane. He wouldn't be normal. And he said, then everything that he created wouldn't work right. Gravity would stop, the planets would crash. And he says, look at this. Look at this perfection in the universe. God had to be all good. There's no shadow with him, no turning. But when we go away from him and we decide what we will do, it'll be our lives. If we want to have gay marriage, we will do it. If we want to kill our young before they're even born, that's women taking charge of their bodies. For how long? Judgment Day? And we heard something, too, about the baker. I might not be able to give you his last name right now. It's not coming right to me. His first name is Jack, the one who went through that long legal struggle up to the Supreme Court, I believe, because he didn't want to bake a gay marriage cake because of the religious message. He's under attack again. They've kind of set him up with two lesbians who wanted to have some kind of a celebration, I think, of their marriage, and he wouldn't do it. So now he's going to be persecuted again. It's not going to be too many years, possibly, before God completely withdraws his hand of protection. Then, you and I, the remnant, we will see Christian persecution in this country. It will come. So we do ask you to pray for our country, to pray for our leaders, pray for President Trump, who is valiantly trying to do what God would have him do, ever as we see him withdrawing us from some of those international organizations like UNESCO, withdrawing us from the climate change. And we hear Pelosi spouting off again, we must do something about the climate change. But you see, the elite are heavily invested in their mass population confusion and harm. And so we see now this campaign to wipe out men's power. And there's a lack of purpose, a lack of family, a lack of money. A commentator on Alex Jones very recently talked about the youth who can't afford to get their first house. And they're heavily in debt, we know, from student loans. But we put all this together. We think about, are we honoring God to legalize marijuana? I think not. We have an article here, I guess, in Massachusetts that has just gone like wildfire, all of the sales since it's legalized. But we think about this. The elite are never responsible for the results of their ideology. Why should they be? Antifa now is killing off a lot of the yellow vests people. We'll be reporting more probably on that at a later point. But when we're talking about these profiles of these wonderful men who stood up for Trump and the border wall, we don't want to neglect someone else who is a woman and a wonderful role model. I would like Lou to bring us this tribute to Melania Trump, First Lady and Role Model. It was published in the Washington Times, December 26, 2018, by Tammy Bruce. And apparently Tammy Bruce, president of Independent Women's Voice, author and Fox News contributor, is a radio talk show host. And she has another line there. She rises above Democratic pettiness, representing America's, quote, better angels. Now, this kind of angel is not the angel that Michelangelo said could be freed from the statue. It's not the kind of angel that might pop out, the dark angel from that Arc of Triumph.
Melania Trump, First Lady and Role Model, by Tammy Bruce. Despite the efforts of her miserable American media and liberal establishment to malign her, First Lady Melania Trump continues on with work that endears her to the American public. Her agenda as First Lady is expansive, focusing on children and the importance of all aspects of their lives, from self-esteem to education to health care. Our nation has a First Lady who is smart, beautiful, and a person of faith. She is committed to her family and to this nation. Her sense of self-worth is not reliant on whether or not she's on the cover of Vogue, invited to certain cocktail parties. She is her own woman, strong, independent, and she won't be bullied. And for today's liberals and Democrats, that is her crime. Mrs. Trump has suffered ignominious insults and attacks, first as candidate Trump's wife, but inexplicably even more so as First Lady. Yet it is her reaction to the critics that sets her apart and highlights just exactly how ugly others become when jealousy and envy takes root. For two Christmases now, we've enjoyed her sense of style, which has transformed the White House into a dazzling reminder of the beauty of the season. But even Christmas decorations and daring to create an elegant and inviting environment at the nation's house elicits petty whining for the chattering class. During an interview at an event to talk about the opioid crisis and its impact on young people, she was asked about the quote-unquote controversy spun by the media and Democrats, but I repeat myself, over the White House Christmas decor. Her answer was classic Melania Trump, leading with grace. Quote, "We are in the 21st century, and everybody has a different taste," she said. "I think they look fantastic. I hope everyone will come over and visit it. In real life, they look even more beautiful," unquote. What we are watching is the return of mean girls, those who hounded the new girl in high school who dared to be prettier, smarter, and nicer than they. In an effort to damage the reputation of the horribly more interesting girl, they would taunt their target in the hallways, spread rumors, and tell lies. In the pre-Twitter world of bullying, these jackals would scrawl their 140-character insults, threats, and abuse using a Sharpie in her locker. Clearly, all tactics of the insecure are jealous. And jealous. In other words, they are today's Democrats, but at 14 years old. We've come to expect pettiness from the usual suspects in media and politics. But now, Michelle Obama, a woman who sets the tone for Democrats, has apparently revealed her famous, quote, "When they go low, we go high," unquote, encouragement of her husband's supporters was just a skit. Piers Morgan, the former CNN host, now presenter on ITV's Good Morning Britain, an admirer of the Obamas, has written a scathing column for the Daily Mail, expressing his shock and dismay at Mrs. Obama for going low with her attacks on Melania. He wrote, "Just when I thought there was one person in public life that soared effortlessly and admirably above the incessantly ugly partisan trash talk that pervades every second of American airspace these days, Mrs. Obama has let me down. And frankly, she has let herself down, too." Appearing on last night's Jimmy Fallon show, Michelle inexplicably decided to plunge the bitchy knife firmly into the back of her successor as First Lady, Melania Trump, he exclaimed. Mr. Morgan then describes Mr. Fallon seemingly wanted to hear what Mrs. Obama was thinking, as she and her husband were boarding Air Force One last time after leaving the Trump inauguration. Quote, "But before he could even finish the question, Michelle interrupted with a sneering, by Felicia, Fallon collapsed with laughter, and the audience whooped with joy, continued Mr. Morgan, who then explained the phrase originated on a television show, and as a dismissive smear, young people especially would understand. He then details a number of other negative public comments Mrs. Obama has made targeting Mrs. Trump. Quote, how sad to now see the same Michelle Obama, a woman I greatly admire, now herself going so low, simply to belittle her successor, flog a few more books, and further line her already bulging pockets, quote, unquote, concluded Mr. Morgan. In his first inaugural address, President Abraham Lincoln expressed his belief that we could trust in the better angels of our nature. Today, we have too many examples of Democrats encouraging and appealing to the worst in people. We can choose to reject that toxic environment and look to role models like Melania Trump, who encourage us to stay focused and rely on our better angels to make the world a better place.
We applaud her very much, and she was a legal immigrant. Now, we don't know whether President Trump may have to use what President Obama put in place in 2012's resource preparedness. This executive order could wipe out Obama's executive orders. And I think there are some checks and balances with that from Congress. So whatever it is, it is happening now, and we need great prayer. I did my part today, and I called Representative Andy Harris's office in D.C. and urged him to support the president. And Lou got a message as a Democrat, which he is still a registered Democrat, to Senator Cardin's office. So I think some other friends we found, we took a little poll there, just sort of a sampling, they have also been calling. So if some of you can call, it is very important, I think, that you make yourselves heard. We don't know what's going to happen. There are clampdowns everywhere. And in France, the latest on that was French protesters want to set off bank run with withdrawals.
And this is from the French newspaper Le Monde, I believe. Activists from a French protest movement encouraged supporters Wednesday to set off a bank run by emptying their accounts, while the government urged citizens to express their discontent in a national debate instead of weekly demonstrations disrupting the streets of Paris. And this, by the way, was published on January 9th, 2019. Activists from the Yellow Vest Movement, which started with protests over fuel tax increases, recommended the massive cash withdrawals on social media. One protester, Maxime Nicole, called it the, quote, tax collectors referendum, unquote. And Nicole, I guess that's pronounced Nicole. I don't know if that's a man's name or not, not knowing my French that well. Nicole said in a video message, quote, we are going to get our bread back. You're making money with our dough, and we're fed up, unquote. The movement's adherents said they hope the banking action will force the French government to heed their demands, especially giving citizens the right to propose and vote on new laws. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Edouard Philippe gave details Wednesday of a, quote, big debate, unquote, the government plans to start next week in all the regions of France. He said, quote, we want it to be rich, impartial, and fruitful, unquote. The debates will focus on four main topics: climate change, democratic issues, taxes, and public services, the Prime Minister said. Anyone can propose a local event, and an internet platform will provide another venue for discussion. President Emmanuel Macron proposed the debate as a way for the government to hear and to respond to the movement's central complaints. Macron also announced 10 billion euros, about 11.5 billion U.S. dollars, worth of measures to boost the purchasing power of French households. About 200 protesters, including trade union members and participants in the Yellow Vest movement, gathered Wednesday in Créteil, a Paris suburb, as Macron visited a handball facility dedicated to handball gymnasium. Police officers used tear gas to keep the crowd at a distance from the French leader. The yellow vest movement was named after the fluorescent garments French motorists must carry so they are visible if they need to get out of their vehicles in a place that could be unsafe. The protesters started in November to oppose fuel tax hikes and it expanded into broader public rejections of Macron's economic policies deemed to favor the rich.
Interesting, as you informed us there, Lou, of the origin of the yellow vests. We're little rabbits, and we're being herded into a pen all the time. It's so important that you get the word out about this program. Our archives were interfered with again, and we hope that they are working now and will keep working. So please tell your friends and others about the DividedKingdom.org. That is our website, thedividedkingdom.org, and please tell them to hear our program. It's just so important. While we can all be working through the light, because God said the darkness will come when no man can work. And we see there is an increasing tightening. Reducing Michael Savage's hours on the radio, number one. Kicking Alex Jones off the social platforms. And then we see in our local electrical company, we have Smart Hub, and it has a new feature for members. And this new feature is power usage alerts. Members can receive threshold notifications based on certain energy usage parameters. Members can set up a minimum threshold of kilowatt notification and a maximum threshold of kilowatt notification. Members can set up these threshold alerts to be notified when their hourly usage or daily usage minimally hits a certain amount or exceeds a certain amount. Do you understand? This is now voluntary. One day it won't be. Everything will be put off. Lou was trying to copy some DVDs that we're allowed to because they come from a Christian prophecy organization, and we've never been told we can't do it, and so it would be all right to do it. He wanted to help some of the listeners have some of this, but he has lost a lot of memory from our computer, and it can't do it. So he went to get a DVD recorder. Lo and behold, we know that the chemtrails, maybe they're worldwide, but we know a lot of things are only weakening America, like the fluoride in the water. Europe doesn't have it. Europe didn't have the recombinant bovine growth hormones. Get the initials of that. They didn't have it. They didn't allow it to go into their milk in the 90s. So Lou went to buy a DVD recorder.
Well, I couldn't seem to see any. I know I had seen some at Walmart not too many years ago. Let me see now. I went to Walmart. I went to Target. Got a little discouraged, and I had to go to the public library anyway, and since we don't have the internet at home.
And Radio Shack no longer exists.
That's right. You could always count on Radio Shack. I was telling Elizabeth, when I was a young single guy, you could go to all kinds of places for electronics. Now try and find any, except over the internet. Anyway, to make a long story short, I got an article that said the case of the disappearing DVD recorder. When I did a little searching, thinking I might be able to buy one online, it turns out, to quote, this is by Robert Silver, have you shopped for a DVD recorder recently and have found slim pickings on store shelves? It's not your imagination. While DVD recorders are still available in other parts of the world, and Blu-ray disc recorders are available in Japan and are being introduced in several other countries, I seem to have a gap there. But to make the long story short, this country, it's almost impossible to buy them anymore. They were a big thing a few years back, but not anymore.
The suppression of sharing of information, that is a possibility, a very strong possibility. And if you appreciate this program, we would love to have more letters of encouragement. And if some of you wish to contribute, we can't take checks written to us, but we can accept checks written to WWCR of any amount. And we always urge you to take care of your family first. The Bible says that if you don't, you're no better than an infidel. But if you do have enough money and God leads you, just a little cash sometimes helps us with a few groceries or whatever so that we can pay our radio bills, because we do have to pay WWCR and we pay Global Communications, that wonderful Global Star Communications. We really love working with Todd Waite of Global Star Communications, and it goes into Europe on the satellite. And we ask you to pray for those people in France and in Europe, because a lot of this spirit of freedom is spreading now to Italy. A lot of things are coming sort of to a head. So if you would like to write to us, and if you can't send money, just send us letters of encouragement, and maybe whether how your reception is hearing us on 4.840 megahertz or 7.490 megahertz on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. then. Write to us at Lou, capital L-O-U, Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, and the P.O. Box is 28, and the town is Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland. And it's interesting because every year when we come down a little road to the Bethlehem Post Office, which has often been interfered with, we learned about that. We sent letters to our dentist. In fact, we paid a bill one time and it never got there for 6 months. We learned later that the mail there went to another location where we know there's a very strong kind of emergency management that probably is still a lot like it was in the Bush years. Not good. Not good. So sad to say, we no longer go to that little post office and stamp the little wise men and stuff on it because they had a special stamp from Bethlehem, Maryland. We can't do that. You see how our lives have been constricted? It's a small thing. But it's a loss of privacy, and it's a loss of freedom. But we still look up at that star every year. It's lit up, and we think of our Heavenly Father giving us Jesus Christ on the cross. But things are going to get tighter and tighter. What is our only hope, Lou?
Our only hope is Jesus Christ. If you've never given your life to Him, now's the time to do it. Now is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Now is the time to turn your life over to Jesus, to accept Him as your Savior for what He did on the cross for all of us. Don't delay.
And it doesn't matter how much evil is going on, even secretly, there will come a time when it is exposed. We had a headline here November 23rd, Vatican fails church abuse victims again. Walk into any Catholic church in America and you'll find the same two flags somewhere in the sanctuary, usually on the altar. And this came from Panama City News Herald, an editorial. One is instantly recognizable to Americans, regardless of religious affiliation, and they go on to say that's the American flag. And the other is gold and white and decorated by a pair of crossed keys and a tiara. Once again this week, church leaders seem more interested in protecting the latter, the Vatican national flag, than they are the citizens of the former. With the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops poised to adopt measures meant to increase accountability for their handling of sexual abuse cases, the Vatican ordered them to stand down until Pope Francis can convene a global summit on the crisis next year. The crisis management attempts come at truly the 11th hour. Dioceses across the country have released lists of the priests credibly accused of sexual abuse of a minor in the last month, building up to this week's conference. Even this attempt at transparency was poorly executed. The diocese declined to issue a news release to the public or the media about the list. Cover up everywhere, but God will shine the light of truth. And we thank you for listening to this program. We hope that it will be a blessing to you, and those of you who have not given your life to Jesus Christ will think about what Lou said to you. This is the time, the glorious time. I saw a beautiful hawk today. We call it an eagle. It was God's eagle encouraging me as we wrote the script. And I saw a bald eagle this summer atop hay on the farm behind us. God's glories live forever. Good night.